This week on Jaguars Weekend, the Jags face three divisional opponents to close out the year. First up, a trip to Houston. We have a preview with the head coach. Plus, we're in the community with the Jags as a new pet adoption center opens in Jacksonville. All that and more on Jaguars Weekend.
This is Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Building the American dream, one home at a time. Brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. EverBank. It's your money. Make the most of it. And by Cadillac.
Without a doubt, it's been disappointing, you know, but it's where we're at right now. So, you know, we got to go. We got another game coming up, and we got to get ready for it.
Put your head down and work. That's all the Jags can do from here with three games to go. And welcome into Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. J.P. Shadrick with you. Another loss for the Jaguars last week, and it was a fourth quarter to forget, but not a lot of time to turn it around. Three games left in this season. Up next, three games in the AFC South. Another loss revealed another issue for the Jaguars. Special teams mistakes were a major part of a fourth quarter collapse against the Vikings.
In the second half especially, there were some the errors that we made that were uncharacteristic of us, and, you know, we just can't have them. Can't have them in this game.
The defense gave up uncharacteristic explosive plays and couldn't get off the field late.
For us defensively, absolutely. It's create turnovers, find opportunities to give the offense a short field, anything that will put us in a more advantageous position to win.
On offense, there was improvement from the quarterback and another breakout performance from a wide receiver.
I'm healthy and I respect my play and my teammates. I know they're going to go out there and do everything they could for me and for us to win, so therefore I'm going to do the exact same thing without thinking about it.
We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osia. We just heard from Marquise Lee there, guys. The offense as a whole, they say they still believe in what Blake can do moving forward the last three games here.
Well, I think they have to because he's going to be the guy in the last three games, and I think you need to see something from the offense, from Blake. A little bit of what we saw against Minnesota in the no turnover department, but if they're going to really believe in this guy going into the offseason, I think some big plays need to be made. You know, something in the fourth quarter, Brian, where it's a big pass play, puts you ahead to a wide receiver, that thing you want out of a quarterback that we haven't seen yet.
That's it. I mean, that's what Bortles does, is push the ball down the field and make plays, except he hasn't done it.
Did.
This year.
Right.
I could use past tense, too. And they need to see that in the last 3 weeks if they're going to go into the offseason believing that. I've been very impressed with Marquise Lee at his maturity level. I mean, he is a guy who understands that his relationship with the quarterback is paramount. They need to be on the same page. But overall, the offense has got to have something positive happen. And we heard Nate Hackett say earlier this week, in the fourth quarter, win a game.
If they could get a lead in the fourth quarter with a pass, boy, would that be big for this team right now.
Special teams were a big part of the collapse last week in the fourth quarter. You know, this time of year, there's a lot of injuries, so guys get moved up from special teams to play on offense or defense. Is that part of it? How do you get past that this late in the season on special teams?
That's probably good.
You find new players. You go and you're churning the bottom of your roster and you're looking for guys. And I know that people go, well, it's the end of the year. Why bother doing that? But you've got – look, if you are sitting between 40 and 50 on the roster – you make your living on special teams. If these guys let you down week after week, you're not going to make your living on the roster. Go find someone else.
The good news is special teams has to be better this week.
Yeah, it can't get much worse, there's no doubt. The defense, a top five group, but they gave up a lot of explosive plays last week. That's not characteristic of what they've done. How do they limit that this week against a team that they ran against them pretty well last time?
Well, I don't think you're going to see the rash of explosives because that hasn't been their MO. It felt against Minnesota like it was a couple of breakdowns early, but it wasn't going to be a trend. The big thing for me with this defense is still turnovers and sacks. I don't think they're going to be able to get to getting them, but they need to.
Don't give up the long, explosive run. They didn't let Miller get too many of those, really just one. Don't give that up, and Osweiler shouldn't beat you.
More on the Texans game coming up, and there's more ahead on Jaguars Weekend. We sit down with head coach Gus Bradley for a closer look at the Houston Texans run game. Also, the Jaguars help Shelter Dogs get an opportunity for a second chance. And let's roast some pork this week on Game Day Grub. That's all coming up, but first a look at pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor on Classic Jags, presented by Lexus.
touchdown Jacksonville, 52 yards, and Fred Taylor makes a statement.
Fred Taylor was the most dazzling offensive player the Jaguars have ever had. The things he did on the field seemed to be humanly impossible.
Most underappreciated running back in the history of the league, bar none. It's not even close. When you talk about the great runners in this league, Freddie's name never comes up, and it's ridiculous because he was big and he was fast. I mean, this guy could take it 90, but he was 235 pounds. You know how many guys there are like that? There aren't a lot of guys like that. He had the wiggle, too.
His game-breaking ability. You know, for example, the 90-yard run against the Miami Dolphins in the playoff victory.
He goes, it's a foot race. Taylor's gone. He's at the 40. He's at the 50. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. Taylor to the 20. Taylor 10. 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville. 90 yards.
A lot of Jacksonville pro football fans who became pro football fans thought, oh, yeah, there's a Fred Taylor around every corner. There's not. There's one of those. And the other guys who look like that are generally in Canton.
He was just a phenomenal combination of explosiveness, power, and speed.
The combination of size, quickness, speed, ability to make people miss, ability to accelerate from a standing stop. He has a highlight reel that matches anybody to play in the last 20 years.
He is the most underappreciated runner in the NFL, and he should be in the Hall of Fame.
When you start a conversation about Fred Taylor, the adjectives pile up faster than the yards and touchdowns. He thrilled football fans and observers alike.
At the line, I was thinking, God, I hope he goes this game. Just the way that they were shifting on it.
Good job, man. Great work. You're doing good. Hey, just keep it up, guys.
Wide receivers coach Jerry Sullivan, who's been around the game forever with Brian Walters after the touchdown last week. Check out the sounds of the game feature each week on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Now, we know all about the Houston Texans defense, but what do they do on the offensive side of the ball? Jeff Lagerman is inside the film room with head coach Gus Bradley. This conversation is presented by Cadillac.
Gus, this week, the Houston Texans, you've seen them before. They've got a formula that they love, and that's running the football and then staying committed to it and then playing good defense. And they ran for 180 against you guys the last time.
Yeah, they did. Their running game, I mean, that's the reason why they brought him in. You know, get a good back there behind a good offensive line, establish that run, take a little bit of pressure off their defense as well. And they've been playing good football.
Well, against the Colts here, they ended up running the football 41 times. And if you give Lamar Miller just one little crack, one little mistake and gap responsibility, he's going to find it.
He is. And you know what? If you give him 40 opportunities or 38 opportunities or 35, he's going to break a long one. He has the ability to do that. He's got really good speed, and he's really got good vision to go with it.
When the Texans have mixed and matched their offensive line, they had a new right guard starting last week. He ended up reaching Perry here, 54, and once again another hole for Miller.
It is. You know, the zone scheme right here, you know, more of an outside zone. Back does a good job seeing it, sticking his foot in the ground and getting north and south. And he hits the seam just like it's drawn up to be.
I believe I could have run that one.
Let's not go that far. Logs.
And if they can run the ball effectively, you've always talked about this. It opens up so much more. This is play action. Watch the linebackers creep up. Boy, they bite.
Yeah, they do. You know, and the line does a good job selling it, you know, off of a power pass action. And the quarterback does a good job with the fake. And they give it to one of their top, you know, tight ends as receiver threat.
Now, C.J. Fedorowicz and the Texans tight ends certainly have been a very big part of their offense in the passing game.
Yeah, he is. You know, he's a big target for him, very good inline blocker, and a big target, like I said earlier, for him to get the ball to in passing situations.
All right, well, me personally, I have my popcorn ready. Okay, DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Ramsey, I can't wait. Here's DeAndre Hopkins lined up in the slot, and that's a tough matchup for anybody.
It is, you know, and they move him around a lot. This is a good picture of it. You see him so inside and trying to get a bad matchup on a tight or on a safety-type player or a corner that plays in the slot. And just the separation, you know, the ability to run a route, but the separation game makes it an easy throw and catch.
Popcorn is ready. I'm ready to go. Jalen Ramsey, DeAndre Hopkins, part two, because, you know, I remember the very first part of that game, the last matchup, there was a little physicality between those two to start the game.
Well, who knows? We might not even match them together. You have to wait and see, Lars.
I don't believe that, Gus. All right, thank you, Gus.
Guys, thanks a lot. It's time now to get into the Jaguars locker room with defensive tackle Cindric Marks. Each week he interviews a teammate. He calls it the gold room. Of course, we call it players only.
So today we're here with Prince Amukamara. Amukamara is not the way to pronounce it, so it's the American way to pronounce it. So how do you pronounce your last name?
It's a Nigerian name, so we pronounce it Amukamara.
Amukamara?
Amukamara.
I'm going to start calling you that.
Thank you.
And people don't know that your name is not just Prince. You're really a Prince.
Right. Yeah, Prince isn't my name. Just my name. Prince is also my title. Just like my sister's name is a princess. She's the oldest, and that's her title also.
And then you have four other sisters.
Yeah. It goes in chronological order. It's Princess, Precious, Promise, Peace, and Passionate. And then I married a beautiful woman named Pilar. So I said, okay, I got to keep the name going. So then I named my son Prince Princeton. So Prince, that's his title. And then my daughter's Princess Paisley.
So now you get on camera now and you all calm, cool, like you're just a nice guy. People don't know the real Prince, man. Who is the real Prince? Who is Prince Amukamara?
I think it really depends on who am I around. I try to be a chameleon in a way where I just try to adapt with who I'm around. So if it's around a lot of people who are being comedic and humorous, then okay, I'm gonna be comedic and humorous. Or if it's time to be serious, then I'll be serious. But it really depends on who I'm around, yeah.
Now let's talk about your vegan or organic, whatever this stuff is you're doing. What's up with this, man? Where you get this from?
Man, so I think it all started when I met my wife. So when I met her, like my go-to restaurants was the Cheesecake Factory and Red Robin. Like that's where I would take girls on a date. So that's where I took her. So we would go to those two. And then she said, man, there's too much salt in this food. I can't eat out all the time. I said, all right, well then let's cook. So then I started watching this Netflix documentary. So then we went to Walmart. And then I read, okay, the type of produce that I was buying wasn't up to par, meaning they either had like preservatives or pesticides and all that stuff. So I'm like, okay, let's go to Trader Joe's and Whole Foods. And so I really try not to eat anything that's not organic.
So it scares you?
Even if eating organic doesn't equate to not getting any of those diseases, I'd rather just limit my chances, because why would I want like pesticides or like poison sprayed on food and into my body? It doesn't make sense. If I can limit that, then I'll do it.
Well, you're a very interesting person, man. Very interesting. Thank you, man. Thank you for coming through the Gold Room.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.
There's still more to come. A look at a new training center for shelter dogs. And there's pork on the menu this week on Game Day Grub. This is Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes.
Be great, Bobo. I love you, bro. Let's go, dog. Let's go. You gotta watch his push off now. He was heavy with it.
We know by now that rookie cornerback Jalen Ramsey likes to talk. Well, he was mic'd up for the Vikings game last week. Watch and hear the full Jags Wired segment each week on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Each week, we go out into the community with the Jaguars. There's a new training center in Mandarin giving shelter dogs a new leash on life. Brian Sexton has more in this Baptist Health feature.
There's little doubt that at least one cat and these dogs can coexist. And after 3 years, there's no doubt that these dogs and inmates from state and local corrections facilities can do a lot more than that. The TAILS program, or Teaching Animals and Inmates Life Skills, celebrated the grand opening of its new training center in Jacksonville, where formerly homeless dogs with little or no training not only get, but help give a new leash on life. The big cat and long snapper Carson Tinker were on hand to help celebrate a program that Tinker has seen and believes quite strongly in.
I just think it's really neat, all the stuff that they do for the dogs and the people and the inmates. It's just a lot of good things that have all come together, and I think that's really neat, just the whole process.
The dogs are sent to live with inmates who help train them so they can be adopted, and the success rate is nearly 100%. The inmates are then given the chance to show a little responsibility and good behavior, and the results are visible and undeniable.
They've really accepted the program. They've seen a difference in the inmates in the dorm. The guys love the program, so they want to behave. They don't want to get in trouble. They have something to look forward to, a sense of purpose.
The primary benefactor of the new training center is a local chiropractor who saw the program and quickly understood its reach and impact.
And you are saving two lives, because a lot of individuals, these inmates that are getting ready to be released into society, you know, they've lost touch with a lot of emotional feelings that we come in contact with every day. So when they bring these dogs into these programs, it really helps inmates become in touch with emotions that they haven't felt for a long time. And for me, I truly believe that's a great program for both the animals and for inmates that are being released from being incarcerated for years.
If you'd like to help or perhaps adopt one of the graduates, go to www.pittsisters.org. For Jaguars Weekend, I'm Brian Sexton.
Very cool to see, and it's time now to get into the kitchen. Chef Tony and Michaela Bradley have Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. It's never a bad week when there's pork on the menu.
Welcome to Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. We're cooking on natural gas today at the Dreamfinders Model Home, Palms and Nocatee. We have Chef Tony is back with us today. And welcome. Good to see you again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here. This is one of my favorite things to do.
And you're very good at it.
Throughout my plan. I mean, it's not just the enthusiasm that I have for what I do. I get to hang out with you.
Oh,
and some of your friends stop by. It's a great thing. So today, I wanted to go to the other white meat with a pork tenderloin. A lot of people shy away from this because it cooks very quickly
okay. And
gets dry on it. But we're going to do a roasting technique with this to kind of keep some of that moisture inside, but give it a little boost of flavor and do a great pairing at the end. So we're going to start off. I have a seasoning here for you.
Okay.
I'm just going to open it up, right? We're going to get to the big one.
Okay.
And you're going to start seasoning the pork. I'm going to season with some salt as well, just like that, because that is a salt-free seasoning that we have.
We're gonna put is that okay? Is that too much?
No, that's great.
Okay.
No, we're not done yet. Watch this. We're gonna take it.
Flip-a-roo.
Because you know why we're gonna flip it? I plan on eating both sides, not just one, right? All right, this is a two-sided piece of pork here. A little bit of pepper.
That's a great point.
And then we're gonna pour some mojo marinade over this right here. Watch this right here. Nice and easy, all the way down. And we let that hang out for about 10 minutes.
Or okay.
So. But I'm gonna go ahead and drop it in the oven over here.
Super.
And I'll be right back to you. All right, Michaela, that's going to take about 15, 20 minutes in the oven. While we wait on, we're going to make a little sauce for this. So I see you have some limes already in our zester. Go ahead and squeeze it in there. Oh, it's like a citrus shower coming out. I mean, this thing gets the most out of it.
I need one of these.
You know what?
But I use limes for different things.
Hey, you know what? I have an ice cream machine to help those things get going, right? It's like a little slushy. The ice cream machines just aren't for ice cream anymore.
Is that right?
Right. They make great things. We have some low-fat or some fat-free sour cream. I have a spatula there for you. You'll throw that in there too. Oh yeah, I love it. Got some green onions. I'm gonna put that in there. And then how about it? Right, it's not a cilantro cream. If you don't put cilantro in there, put some cilantro in there. Beautiful. Mix that up for me.
Oh,
and this
yummy.
This is gonna have a little bit of tartness to it. I want you to open up our honey container. Squeeze just a little bit of honey in there. Oh, you can do the big, right?
I was going to say.
The easy hole is the big hole, so, right? There you go.
Good.
Beautiful. And then we'll put a little pepper in there. Look at us. Oh. See that? And we're going to mix that up. Now, we're going to pair this with some mashed sweet potatoes as well. They'll have a little bit of spice to them. We'll use some of that spice to mix that up. We'll slice the pork, lay it on top, and hit it with some of the cilantro cream. And that's our roasted pork.
Wonderful.
Looks good to me. For that recipe and a look at all the Game Day Grub segments, make sure you visit peoplesgas.com/cooking. There's still more to come. A road trip to Houston. A preview of the Week 15 matchup against the Texans is coming up on Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Home.
You know, I don't think spoiler is the right word to use. I think you want to more so go get a chance to say, you know, how are we against one of these playoff teams and stack up and you don't really want to talk about it or think about it, but it's, you know, let's build something going into the offseason for next year.
That's about all that's left for Bortles and the Jaguars with three games to go. And welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. You know, the last two times the Jaguars have played the Texans, two different kind of wins for Houston. They have a long run in this series. How does it change this time?
Well, I don't think it'll change much from what the Texans are trying to do from the last time. They're a team that wants to run. Brock Osweiler is still sort of floating a little bit in that role. They're going to run with Lamar Miller. They're going to try to do that. The Jaguars stop it. They're okay. If they don't, they're in trouble.
From the Jaguars' perspective, running the ball is tough right now with the injuries they've got, and Vince Wilfork will be in the game this time around. He wasn't when the game was here, so running is going to be difficult, which means Bortles has to make the throw. He's got to go down the field, challenge a secondary that's beat up, and connect with Marquise Lee. He's open on every play.
tough to do. Last time in Houston for the Jags, 7 sacks by this Houston defense. What a group they have down in Texas. The Texans and Jags coming up in week 15, and that's it for Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes.